What are the desires of your heart? That's the subject of today's edition of Chapter and Verse, as we begin with this observation from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Write down the word, my heart's desire, and even put a S by it if you have more than one desire. What is your desire? Or desires, plural. My heart's desire and prayer. So you underline that second part of this, and prayer. Do you realize what happens when you get your list of desires covered by prayer? Very quickly you start crossing out things that isn't what you really desire, because from the lips we have learned proceed the abundance of the heart, Jesus said. And so as you're talking to the Lord in prayer, your real desires are made manifest. So some things that you and I desire are really not good for us or helpful for anybody else, but we still desire them, and God has a way of showing us they're wrong.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and shout.
Welcome to Chapter and Verse, where we're taking part in a survey of the New Testament book of Romans. In one of Paul's other writings, 2 Corinthians 10:5, he writes, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Not all good ideas are meant to be implemented, and not everything that comes into your mind should come out of your mouth. God's Word admonishes us to count the cost of our thoughts, our actions, and our speech. Your plan may be terrific, but God's will be even better. Listen to Him. What you think, say, and do will more likely bring about the desired results if you wait and let Christ speak and work through you. My Heart's Desire is our topic and title today on CNV as we look to Chapter 10. And now here's Pastor Mike to resume our study of the Book of Romans.
Our Father, we're very grateful today that you have allowed each one of us to stand up and to get up this morning and to make it to a place to gather with other believers. Father, there's no telling what our city would look like if there were no people gathering today to worship you. And we're just grateful for the hundreds of thousands of people in our city that love you and talk to you and do their best to serve you. And we would pray today that your Holy Spirit would touch our hearts in a very special way. And we pray, Father, that you know our families, those that are close to us, and you know the needs of each and every person. And so we're asking as we hear this message today that you would reach out to those people that are the closest to us, that sometimes are the hardest to speak to. Lord, we thank you so much for your love and care and concern for people. And we know you always get a bad rap. And if we could only see the things that would have happened to us if you hadn't been working behind the scenes. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for the book of Romans that we've been able to do chapter and verse through and learn about your grace, your mercy, your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, that you've used Israel as a picture of your grace and your love, and how that they turned from you and then you turned towards the Gentiles. We're very, very grateful. We know that you're just using the Gentiles to show your glory and your grace. And Father, as you wrap up human history, we would pray in Jesus' name that we could be a part of it with you. We pray, Father, that you'll just walk through the aisles right now. Lay your hand on everyone's shoulder and bless these people. Just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please turn to Romans chapter 10, where we left off, our last message. Brethren, my heart's desire and my prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law: the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? Quote, the word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? Well, first Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will anger you by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and a contrary people. Well, that whole chapter basically confirms to you today if you're going to go to heaven or not. It makes it very simple, simpler than a lot of times theologians want to make it. Verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's pretty simple. Just ask yourself, can I confess with my mouth right now that Jesus is Lord? You know, there's another verse we'll see as we continue beyond, and it says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Spirit of God. So there's no way that a person can just let it flow out of his mouth and say that Jesus Christ is Lord unless the Holy Spirit's living within him. So Paul says, if you confess, so you make it a public confession with your mouth, the Lord Jesus. I believe in Jesus. I love Jesus. I've tried my best to help my family know and love Jesus. I'm not embarrassed about Jesus. I give to the work of Jesus. I pray for the work of Jesus. I'm involved with the work of Jesus. And I could go on confessing Jesus for you. So there's no doubt of who I am. So I'm so wildly, madly in love with him, the best thing God could do is make me a minister. Because he wants the weak so that he can show his strength. But he definitely wants people serving him who love him. So I think to legalize me so I wouldn't be a weirdo on the streets, I got ordained and became a minister and an upright citizen and a normal dude in some people's eyes. But there it is for any of you that doubt, and any of you that came, you haven't been to church for a long, long time. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's all. Believe what? That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So it's faith. When faith is released, then things happen in your life. And so he says, what's the next step? Is that faith? But how do you hear about this unless the word is preached? But how can it be preached unless a man has been sent? And that's the word. So we found out in verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and the hearing is of the word of God. It's not of religious or esoteric things or spacey things. It's the word of God. I would like to leave that with you, and we'll look at that in depth later. But I'd like you to take your pens out right now, if you have a pen or a pencil or a crayon or a lipstick tube or whatever you want, an airbrush. And this is very important for you. Brethren, so he's talking to Christians and Jews, his brothers. My heart's desire, I'd like you to do it in steps here. First of all, write down the word, my heart's desire. And even put a S by it if you have more than one desire. And as I'm speaking, just write down 4 or 5 or 10 or 50, whatever you want to do. What's your heart's desire as you sit there right now? What is your desire? Or desires, plural. Something only you would know. Maybe you've made it known, but that's what he's doing. My heart's desire. And prayer. So you underline that second part of this. And prayer. Do you realize what happens when you get your list of desires covered by prayer? Very quickly you start crossing out things that isn't what you really desire. Because from the lips we have learned proceed the abundance of the heart, Jesus said. And so as you're talking to the Lord in prayer, your real desires are made manifest. So some things that you and I desire are really not good for us or helpful for anybody else, but we still desire them, and God has a way of showing us they're wrong. So put all of your desires in prayer. And he says, my heart's desire and my prayer, so he's lined his desires up with prayer, to God for Israel, is that they may be saved. Now look on your list and see if you put down anyone that you have a desire in your heart that they should be saved and go to heaven with you. Because that's his desire for all the people of Israel, that they should be saved. They would go to heaven. Their sins would be forgiven him to them. And what this is a picture of a heart that in a sense we should all have, that our heart's desire is for what we have found in God's love be transferred to other people by us. And it doesn't take you being a stadium preacher. I know Greg Laurie, who just started doing this Harvest America. It'll be the first year for Harvest America. He'll do the regular Harvest outreach, but they had, I forget, 8 or 10,000 people accept the Lord last year in Southern California. And now there's 1,500 churches from the East Coast all the way to the West Coast that are now involving tens of thousands of people. And I've known Greg since he was 17 years old. And this was his desire and my desire when we were first in serving the Lord, that we just wanted people in our country to get saved and come to the Lord. And so you want to have a heart's desire in prayer. Focus them up and watch the spiritual things surface out of your heart. And then the worldly or the carnal or the fleshly things will just naturally go away. Your life will immediately change because you'll be a man that God can use. You'll be a woman that God can use. There was a young man, probably a teenager at the time. His name was Samson. And Samson had taken the Nazarite vow. And that vow included that he would not drink wine. He'd keep himself pure from women and sex. He would let his hair grow and never cut his hair. And those were three of the major things of the Nazarite vow. And he had a special gift from God. He was extremely strong. But he had a problem with his flesh. His flesh loved women. And so he was always backsliding. And he went into the Philistines' camp, and the Philistines were enemies of the Israelites. And he fell in love with a young woman there, and he came home and he told his dad, I want you to go get that woman to be my wife. And his mother and his father pleaded with him, don't do this. Don't shame our family by this, for we have no dealings with the Philistines. And he didn't care. So he went down and to their town, and he went in and he slept with her, and he committed sin before God. And before the sun rose, the Philistines knew that here he was, this troublemaker, and they had secret police waiting outside for him. And now one time, regressing for just a moment, back in the 80s, our church sent three truckloads of food to Poland. It was the winter time. There was a food shortage. People were dying. The Russians had said they were coming on the border of Poland. There was martial law. The government had all the phones were tapped. Spies were everywhere. And so we got a permit. Actually, we were told at one time we were the only Americans in Poland and that we had more food in any one of our trucks than any market in Poland had. So that was a great honor to drive 39 hours without sleep across Europe with these trucks and then deliver them. And I was taken into this church. Those of you who went to the festival, the 2 years we did them there in 2004 and 2005 or 6, how great it was to go into that Catholic church. In the afternoon, they had a special service, and I was the speaker, but I wasn't supposed to be speaking as a foreigner. And so the secret police, about a dozen of them, came in, and it was like a movie. I was sitting on the floor, and I was going to get up to speak, and I knew that if they started arresting people, they would arrest me. I was just going to grab the legs of the people sitting on both sides of me in that front row, and then I would just stay there. They weren't going to get me. That's what I thought. And I saw a shadow on the wall of this one secret policeman. It was just the profile of him, and the Catholic priest, the priest of that parish, was standing. You see his profile, and the cop was just shaking his fist at him, and it was because he is going to let me speak. So to intimidate, they had cops in the balcony, plain clothes. They had a secret service guy at every door of the church, and they put this guy with biceps beyond biceps in front of me. I mean, he stood right where I was speaking, within just a little more than an arm's length. And the whole time he stood there with these huge biceps and this, you know, skinny waist and muscles, and he is intimidating me. And so I got really nervous about that. But they waited. And as it was over, the crowd just sort of mingled towards the front, and I was able just to move with the crowd, and they couldn't get me. It was a very special time, to say the least. And so they said, stay here. We will come back and get you later. So the police followed the van that the musicians were in, the Polish musicians, and I stayed underneath an oak tree beside the church in the dark. And the wind was blowing, whoosh, the leaves were making noise, and I'm in the shadows thinking, what am I doing here? They got stopped by a roadblock. They said, where's the American? We want him out of here right now. He's going to jail. They said, we don't know what you're talking about. You do too. You were there singing. We're really not aware of any American. What are you talking about? And then they went and let their gear off. And then they came back another way around town to get me. And they had a roadblock at that side. So when they came back, it was about 11:30 at night. And the Polish guy said, watch this. And I said, what? And he drove off into the country. And I said, isn't it best to go that highway back? And he says, no, we like to do this. Look in the back of the back window. And here we are out in the country, and there's two cars behind us, maybe a quarter mile or so, tagging us. But this was the worst road you could go on. It's full of potholes. And these people knew every pothole, and they knew how to get around them. So anybody that was going to follow them had to pay the price. And so they did. 2 a.m, we got back home and to their house, and it was over with. Those people, the Kroll family, had a heart and still do. They led 600,000 people to the Lord since we have been there with the festival team on the internet, on the Polish internet. It's amazing. They've set up a radio network, the only Christian radio network broadcasting the gospel and Christian music throughout all of Poland. Now it's on the internet and it reaches out to all of Europe as their outreach. But Poland is an amazing place. You've never been there, but they paid a great price. And these two brothers and sisters were all PhDs. They one was PhD in electrical engineering. The sister, was a design engineer, but Henry was an engineer in automotive design. And all three of them won national awards, but they always preach Jesus. Even in their classrooms, they talk about Jesus. And they learned this from their father. And the father, when he died, had 5,000 people at his funeral service. He had such an impact as a godly man under communist rule. And the police would come, they said, in the middle of the night, bang on the door and try to scare us. And then father would answer, and we would hear them yelling at him and cursing father. And then mother would gather the three of us, and we would look down over the railings to the bottom floor where they were, and we would just pray till these police officers would go. But every night that this happened, father took the senior officer and the junior officers into the family room area. And he'd pull out the family Bible, and he would show them in the Bible why he believed in God and why he talked about Jesus in his classrooms. And then he would give them an opportunity to pray and accept the Lord. The father was a brilliant guy. He raised three PhDs, but he was so on fire for Jesus. And after a while, as the kids grew up, they realized that their father was loved by the secret police. And many of them had become Christians and accepted Jesus. So when young recruits came on the job, they would go to his house under the guise of, this guy talked about God in the classroom, and bring him in, and then he'd lead the young ones to the Lord. That's amazing, huh? 5,000 people at his funeral. And it's an amazing family. They still are very, very active, and they've asked us to come back in 2014 and do an outreach to the 600,000 that have accepted the Lord, as many as would come on their vacation, and we'll have a discipleship festival for those people. My heart's desire and my prayer to God concerning my nation is that they may be saved. Boy, I'm telling you, this is the time to be concerned for your nation. We're in big, big, big trouble. And we need to pray for our nation. Now, he said this about them, though. I bear them witness. I agree. I've watched the Jewish people. I was one of the spiritual leaders, religious leaders, that they have a zeal for God. Now, you know many people that have a zeal for God. One of the ladies from Ethiopia, I believe, she won the 800 meter, I think, and the Olympics this week. And she finished and reached inside of her tank top and pulled out a picture of Mother Mary and baby Jesus and kissed the picture and shook it at the camera that they could all see that she was seeking help from Mary and from Jesus. And then others, our women's team, all four of them on the 4x400, all four of them have won medals and are all Christians, and they catch them in these circles praying, the four of them, before or after a match, and the announcers always say, and here's the American team discussing strategy for how they're going to, and I said, no, that's not what they're listening to, the strategy from God. All right. There are a lot of people that have zeal for God. They can bring out their prayer beads. They can wear their big cross around the neck. They can talk to people about God. But then there are people that have a zeal without a knowledge, and they become dangerous. There are people like that in our lives.
You've been listening to Mike McIntosh as he reviews some fundamental principles of seeking the Lord, and he will give us the desires of our heart. When we truly seek God through prayer, he will put his desires for our life into our hearts, thus fulfilling our desires. We'll learn more about this important principle on our next broadcast. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, and we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that daily schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's program here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the resources link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete teaching through Romans, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com. Now, before we enter time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us at Chapter and Verse, Post Office Box 231-150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231-150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. We'll continue our study of Romans on the next Chapter and Verse broadcast with Mike McIntosh, and we hope you'll join us at that time. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.